listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Paul Hogan, we are for you.
Live Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for wrestling fans worldwide. This is WrestleMania 31, the Aftermath show. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn, as well as YouTube. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm Aljon Go, big fan of wrestling in general, and of course, joined by my esteemed cohort and
the
wrestling
mark.
Historian, the Mark.
The Mark. Tonight, I'm the Mark.
Stephen
the
Anthony.
Mark Knight.
There you go, the Mark. Hey, we got more Marks joining us from this morning's prediction show. We're back with Benji Brown. Benji.
What's going on?
Yes, Daniel John Schaefer.
What up?
Nixon.
Hi, y'all. Awesome show tonight.
Awesome. All right, so let's get down to it. A lot of swerves. There's one thing I didn't talk about earlier in the show, which was the celebrity effect. So let's talk about that first. Every WrestleMania, without fail, there's always a celebrity or two making appearances. And we had actually a celebrity or two make an appearance. One in the form of Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming out. And then a very special guest who I never saw coming.
Nobody had that. Did anybody know anything about Ronda Rousey?
No.
Not at all. That was blown away by that.
Yeah, come on, guys.
He's had like a huge media week this entire week. Like she was on late. She was on, I think, The View the other day, like late night shows and shit like that. But never in a million years did I expect. It's funny because if you guys go back and watch the show, notice that when the Rock's music hits, you'll see Triple H over in that corner, and he looks down and is smiling at someone sitting down there. Because when The Rock started to walk around the ring later on, I was like, just watch on the replay. You will totally see it caught Triple H looking down over there and smiling at whoever was sitting there. But I never in a million years put two and two together and was like, oh, until I saw Shayna Baszler, I think's her name, one of Ronda's teammates. I saw her sitting there. I was like, oh, shit, Ronda's down at ringside. That was huge, man. That was a huge deal.
Yeah,
they're
big
front
pop
row
too, man. Huge pop.
Anyway. What's that?
I said they're front row at almost every pay-per-view anyway.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Let's see here. Daniel, do you have something you needed to add there?
I think I was just as shocked as everybody, man. I mean, I felt like it was an awesome little... I think they did a really great job of keeping it quiet because obviously you don't do something like that without a lot of planning. So it's really surprising that in 2015 that wasn't leaked by someone, you know? Like, I mean, wow. Like, it was a huge, awesome moment. Loved it. It was great.
Yeah, I didn't see your boy Jason Meltzer, actually. I was going to say Jason Powell, Dave Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer, who covers MMA and UFC and makes me pay $10 a month to listen to his podcast.
VIP, bitch.
VIP. You know, he talks about Ronda Rousey every week.
Yeah,
he talks about MMA and UFC, Bellator, every Strikeforce even, everything. And, like, he didn't say anything about that. Nobody must have known. But the key, and what a great story. We have to do it now, I guess. It's just totally secret behind the scenes situation. Unreal that they pulled that off.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about The Rock perhaps doing some type of involvement.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be in the main event, though.
Yeah, you know? I thought he was going to have something to do with Roman Reigns, for sure.
Right.
Benji, did you see it coming?
Yeah, no, I didn't see it coming. I was excited at the beginning, but then I felt like the interview just lasted too long, and then there was no, like...
Right.
If she would have just kicked Stephanie's ass, like, I feel like it would have had more of an impact. But at least we're open for a future, you know, situation, you know. I kind of saw The Rock coming too, because when you saw John Cena win the U.S. title and then he went down and gave his mom, what I'm guessing is his mom a hug. His mom was sitting right next to The Rock's mom, and maybe thought she was there. Oh, but at the same time, when I saw her, I was like, The Rock's here, you know. So that was kind of like a green flag that maybe, you know, he was going to show up. But I don't know. I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a good angle. I just felt like it lasted a little bit too long before getting to the actual line.
You think it leads anywhere, or you think it's a one-time-only thing? I think we see Triple H and Steph against Rock and Rousey?
I think that you're going to see more UFC guys allowed to do part-time or, like, at least one-off spots now. I think there really is some kind of working relationship between Dana White and Vince McMahon now.
I agree with that.
Hold on, guys. We have a special guest.
We have a legitimate female perspective of this issue.
Come on.
Nice.
It's the wifey. Come on.
Great.
That's Steven's giving up his chair.
Okay.
Come on, Terry.
This
is my wife, Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Benji.
I miss you.
I told you, she wants to be on WWE.
Yes, totally.
But I saw this interview. That's why it didn't surprise me she was there.
She saw The View. You see The View, right?
No, I didn't watch The View.
She's on Fallon, isn't she?
Yeah, I want to sit and watch a table of women just sit there and being catty. No, I don't want to.
No, you see a bunch of guys get around getting catty talking about wrestling.
There you go. Yeah.
No, but I'm telling you, she wants.
Yeah, she wants to be
part of the show.
Of course she does.
Yeah. So.
And she's damn good, by the way. I believe she's in Fast and the Furious with Rock, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I had seen her. It was an interview something for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that's why when I saw her, like, I thought this was like a given that everybody knew she was beyond there.
Yeah. Well,
that's a surprise.
Yeah, right. Well, let's do this real quick while I have you here. What was your favorite part of WrestleMania tonight? Did you appreciate Brock Lesnar?
I like Brock Lesnar being beat into where he was bleeding.
Roman Reigns fan, y'all.
No, I hate Brock Lesnar. There is no character I dislike, I think, more than Brock Lesnar.
No, you hate Paul Heyman more.
They're one and the same.
I love this. Okay, all right. Well, feel free to chime in. Bring Terry next time, you know?
Bye,
all right, no. Okay, there you go. There's a cameo. It's like I feel like a Muppet when I'm. It's like, you know, you should take the show to Cleveland. Okay, so we talked about that. Now, how about this match? Oh, okay. Other surprises tonight.
Wait. Is Dana White working with Vince secretly?
He's got to be, man. He's got to be. There's no way he lets Ronda Rousey go out there and not knows about it. There's no way.
Yeah.
No, he knew.
And on Twitter, right?
The show. They have the same talent agent, by the way, The Rock and Rousey. I'm sure there's a lot
also,
of...
Remember that Brock went to a UFC fight recently and was meeting with Dana White. I think that's what led to that whole ESPN thing. I think this has all been a work, man. Like, why else would they have, like, released all these small, like, dirt sheet things about him going to a UFC event? That's what caused all that speculation with the end of his contract and everything.
Right.
We got played, and they did a great job. I love that we got played. I think it was awesome. Like,
wait, do you
as,
think
as a small market, it's like, I finally got, you know, I got works, which is great.
I did, too.
Benji?
Do you think it goes as far back as CM Punk, or do you think this is, like, a newer
situation? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that Punk's Punk. I don't think the feelings between Punk and WWE is a work, but I do think that there may have been some kind of like working of the contract, like as far as that lawsuit they have, because all those details are like under wraps. Neither side can talk about them, and then all of a sudden he signs with UFC, even though he had that clause in his contract. So I do feel like there was probably some work there, but I don't think that I think CM Punk does legitimately hate Vince McMahon.
A lot of people do.
Right.
Well, if you want to chime in on the show, feel free. You can call the Pro Wrestling Cast hotline at 615-933-9792. Standard long-distance rate supply. That's all I have to say about that. So, having said that, match of the night. What are we looking at, guys? And we'll start with Benji.
It's got to be the IC title match for me. I think that it was just a strong opener for WrestleMania itself, and it kind of set the precedent. I mean, I don't really think there was a horrible match on the card, but that's still the one that kind of stuck with me. Like, I felt like everybody kind of put in their own thing. I think Dean Ambrose took a monster fall at the end, and everybody really showed their hunger and want to be on the show. I think there's only great things for everybody involved, including Luke Harper. Luke Harper really impressed me tonight just with his abilities, and I always thought he was one of the better big men, but, I mean, I feel like he cemented himself as the next quote-unquote big show or the next big Kane. Like, I feel like tonight was a big night for all seven of those guys to shine, and I was kind of hoping something we didn't touch on earlier. I was kind of hoping for like a Sheamus run-in. I kind of wanted a Sheamus situation.
It'll be on tomorrow night.
You think it'll be tomorrow? Have they announced that it was tomorrow night?
Yeah.
No, but that's what the going thing is.
Oh, okay. Because I was hoping Sheamus would come back as a full heel and then like really just fuck up Daniel Bryan's opportunity for the title and then really like solidify an angle going with that. But yeah. I mean, besides that, like that was my match of the night.
One pick we all got pretty right too.
Yeah.
Pretty on point with that, I thought. I think we all knew kind of where that was good. Just like the Rusev John Cena match. I think we were all kind of on that too. We kind of knew what was happening. But and Lena showed up.
Yep.
That made me happy. Even as being a gay man, she's hot. I mean,
I tell you what though, those extensions were rocking for sure.
Yeah.
Your wife mentioned something about that spot at the end with Lana, the fact that she took her heels off beforehand.
My wife said, if you notice, she took her shoes off before that spot. She knocked off the ring apron.
Her shoes in the ring. There's one point when she threw one of her heels in the ring at one point when
I think our network was glitching during that time.
All right, I was eating dip.
Because I thought he was gonna use her heel or something. But they mentioned her throwing in there, and it was weird because he never grabbed her shoe or anything. So I was like, did she throw in her shoe at the wrong point? But yeah, they referenced that.
Yeah, I thought it was a blind spot.
Yeah. Dude, he came out in a fucking tank. How baller is that? Does Obama know that?
They didn't get that past TSA.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding? Is he really coming out in a damn tank?
He came out in a tank. He must have got that at the DX rummage sale. we have that other surprise to talk about. Okay, Nixon, how about you? Match of the night,
man. Hard to say. You know, I was very happy with the entire card. Yeah, you know, as much as I loved the Bray-Taker match, because Bray really, I mean, Taker, you know, Taker was Taker, but Bray carried that match to a great fucking match, especially after the shit show that Taker had last year. But I will say, I have to go with that main, man. They booked that perfectly. Lesnar was a fucking beast. Reigns took every bit of it and kept coming back for more. And then Rollins comes in as the cheap, cowardly snake that sneaks the victory, doesn't even pin the champ, and gets out of there before, you know, to look like the coward. That was booking 101, and it was executed perfectly. And I said this earlier in the show, and I said it this morning too, but if Orton won that match, to me, that meant for sure that Rollins was involved in the main. So that was the only bummer that I felt like a lot of us kind of saw it coming, but yeah. I don't know that I saw a successful cash in coming, especially in the manner that they pulled it off. It was an awesome card, man, through and through.
I would like to agree with Nixon. I thought the best match was the main event. If you asked me my favorite wrestler, or if you asked Terry over here, my favorite wrestler is Stan Hansen from Japan in the early 90s, and that match was just as brutal at points as those Japanese Stan Hansen matches. He was absolutely acing him at the beginning. Reigns looked great. He was throwing out some real deal punches. He was getting some brutal suplexes. There was a lot of really great violent things happening, and then the booking at the end was just superb. Everybody gets what they want. Rollins gets the belt 2 months early. Reigns looks great as a plucky babyface that doesn't quite get the title, and he can feud with Rollins, and Lesnar doesn't even have the job, and he looks awesome. So everybody looked great. That was a killer main event.
What had us excited was just the fact that, like, Reigns was laughing at it all. Like, I mean, he was...
That was awesome.
And laugh. Like, he was somewhat enjoying it or some way expecting it, and I think that added a little bit of it added more strength to his character. Like, right. You know, just feed me whatever you want to. Like, I'm still going to come fucking and kick your ass. You know, like, I thought it was just good. I felt like everybody kind of had the facial reactions that needed to be done on top of being able to execute the physical moves themselves. And Reign surprised me. So
he's awesome.
I don't remember ever seeing him, like, maybe I was just caught up in the moment. Did it ever show Heyman towards the end of that match?
Yeah, they show him on the ringside. He's doing some really incredible facials where he's praying to Jesus, and he's just pretty good.
No, I mean,
he's Jewish. He's under the rope. He's under the rope praying, and he's actually really. He's but great. You have to look for it because he's not visually on the hard camera.
Yeah, he's kind of.
It's very subtle. It's very. It's not like in your face. Like I'm staring into the camera doing it. It's just kind of like. I don't know. The execution was fantastic, and I just never. I mean, it's not something I at least physically remember seeing him do in the past. So it was good. It shows growth in his character for sure.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna make it unanimous. I gotta go with the main event too. I mean, I'm admitting that I was wrong here. Like, I mean, I totally thought it was gonna be a dud and see the highlights, and it was 90% booking. I mean, the stiffness was awesome. It was good to see Brock be a monster. He honestly, to me, it was different than the Cena match where he tore him apart, where he was toying with Cena. He kind of sold that he was, you know, worried that Roman Reigns was kind of liking it. He looked like a pro wrestler again, you know, but he's kept being stiff and kept maintained that, like, MMA gimmick that he has now, you know, because that's what it is now. It's a gimmick. So, like, I thought it was great, and I'll be the first to bring it up, but I love the color. I thought it was actually kind of nice to see the little bit of color in there. I know it's a PG thing, and they're probably going to put it in black and white for the highlights, but I loved it. I thought it was kind of it got my blood going, you know, no pun intended, but I thought it was great. Match of the night's got to go Lesnar and Reigns, and my honorable mention would be Wyatt and Undertaker. Undertaker, actually, he deserves a lot of credit, man. He did have a much better match than he had last year.
He looked fantastic.
He was super smooth, man. He looked like it was, you know, 2008 again. You know, I mean, it was. Yeah. I mean, he didn't look like like 90s super young, but he looked like he gained at least 5 or 6 years. You know, like it was great, man. It was a great card. Pleasantly surprised.
It looked like he took care of himself. He built up a little bit more muscle mass. He really, like, physically took care of himself and made himself look better. And it showed. It was a complete 180 from where it was last year. Like, it was sad, kind of, to see him, like, walk to the ring for last year's WrestleMania, but then to see him come out this year, it was like, he's not fucking playing. Like what? You know, like, what was the fire that blew under your ass to, like, bring you here? And it was great. It was a pleasant surprise, and I was really happy that match delivered, too. It was a great card. It's a great card to... I was really disappointed with the build-up, and I am overly excited and going to go home as soon as I get done with here and work and everything else and watch it again until 5 o'clock in the morning. It was great.
It was good. It was really good. Definitely worth the price. If you have not checked out the WWE Network, you need to. Hate to sound like a shill, but that's exactly
it's
what
only it $9.99, guys, if you want to order it.
Yeah, exactly.
Really quick, Vince, man.
Triple H versus Sting with the surprise.
Yeah.
With the surprise of the NWO and the DX.
I'm sorry. I'm all excited. That was a killer match to me. I'm a big Click guy. I love the Click. And I kept thinking that match is going to kind of suck. Like, Sting's older and Triple H is whatever. But, man, they really delivered about 58 run-ins. And Sting looked pretty good, except for his hair. His hair, to be honest, has been an issue. You know, why is everybody talking about this?
Sting's hair is trending worldwide.
You know, I'm looking at all five of us, and we all have really nice hair.
Marvelous hair.
Yeah. No, we do. We all have different types of great hair. Look,
or gray hair.
That works. But this guy's hair, and you could see him visibly in spots, pulling his hair back over the bald spot. I wasn't told about this bald spot before they did this angle. I would have rated this match a lot differently. I don't know about it. I'm being dead serious right now.
Well, it was interesting to see.
Hey, look, Scott Hall took a fucking bump. Are you kidding
right?
me? Scott Hall
took a fucking bump. That was awesome.
Are you kidding me?
DDP yoga works wonders.
Give me a break.
The only way they could make that mess of booking better
And it's really unfortunate they didn't use him, because he was used in a backstage segment with Brian immediately after this match. But it was kind of stupid they didn't have Flair involved in that at all.
I agree. I was waiting for Flair because I saw five of the DX guys.
Where everyone else stood. Flair would be that one guy where you're like, okay, now who's he going to help? Which one of these two?
It would have made
the Triple H win a little you leave less of a sour taste, because this has just been an awesome card. But how did H win the match? I forget.
Sledgehammer.
Really bad spot. Sting did a
fraction of the sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of hits his sledgehammer as he does his stinger splash, and he pinned him. And I thought, well, if you're going to pin him on a shitty spot. I really thought all 10 of them should have held their arms up together. They might as well, though, as weird as it was getting. But I mean,
turn on Sting at the end.
Well, that's what you're thinking. When DX came out originally, I said, okay, so here's the run-in, and then it's going to be WCW guys, because Flair got hurt on the way up, the build-up. Booker T got hurt on the build-up, and DDP came in at Royal Rumble. It would have been perfect to have WCW versus DX, but it didn't turn out that way. When WO came out, I thought for sure that they were going to help Sting for like 2 seconds and then turn on him. It was going to be a ganger. It was going to give you a beat down. Yeah.
As soon as I saw all those run-ins, I was thinking, man, who gave Dusty Rhodes the book for this match, man? There's so many run-ins.
That was obvious.
It was a Rhodes match.
That was a Rhodes match for sure.
Total Dusty finish.
The Glacier.
Glacier was coming out.
Yeah.
The Demon.
Glacier came out. I'd still be marking out right
actually,
now.
Glacier was one of the Terminators that came out for Triple H.
Where Alex was Wright versus Glacier next year at Mania.
Yeah, Glacier versus the Terminator at Mania.
Yeah.
Finish it. Okay.
We'll find out what he's doing these days.
So anyway, we got that. So we talked about Intercontinental title. That was great. We talked about Cena and Rusev. Did we talk about Cena and Rusev?
Real quick about the Intercontinental. Is Ambrose alive after that spot? That was so brutal. That was
doing that stupid clothesline thing between the middle rope, I'm fine with it. Maybe it hurt his shoulder.
Amen. That's so annoying. It's comical. He doesn't need to be that
it's
kind of character.
It's so dumb.
All right.
It was cool the first time he did it.
Great Mysterio. Look what kind of crap he opened up.
I'm sorry.
I love the Dean Ambrose clothesline. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I like the Ambrose clothesline. I'm with you.
I'm okay with
it. I feel like it's something Santino would do.
Benji, real quick, your wall back there is fantastic. What's going on back there?
Oh, that's awesome. My buddy Brian's wall. He's a big wrestling fan thing. So
you think so?
hey Brian, action figures are meant to be played with. Okay.
It's one of the. Not to kill me right now.
Really quick, Damian Sandow. How awesome.
Awesome.
I can't believe the Big Show won.
But why put Big Show over? Why not just go ahead and have Mizdow go over? Why not just have Miz and Mizdow be the last two?
They played perfect, too, until they was played perfect. I said, this is why they haven't done it yet, because they were waiting for the WrestleMania moment for him to finally turn, and then Big Show wins. Why would you do that to me?
Perfect would have been if Show, when he was standing there, because he was talking to a cameraman before they focused in on, I don't know if you guys remember that part, but Show was looking down, I guess, getting how much time they had before the pre-show was over, and that's when Mizdow and Miz first started their conversating in the corner about, all right, we can do this. I think it would have been fucking money if Show would have just been like, you know what, I'll let you two sort this out, and just stepped over the rope.
Stepped over. That's what I was
thinking. And it would have been like, you have to turn on him now after all. You know what I'm saying? It would have been one of those moments where everyone on the card acknowledges that he's been a cool fuckboy from Miz. But, I mean, dude, it's at the end of the day, it's a trophy that we were saying this morning has meant
He's a number one J-bro, and he might as well get the trophy.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Good job.
Thanks for jobbing.
It's all right, Big Show.
Yeah, thanks for jobbing to Roman Reigns every week.
And where was Kane?
Where was Kane?
Yeah, they have him on TV every week, and he's not even in the battle.
No, he was in there.
He was in there.
He got kicked out like, I don't know, there was like 8 or 10 people left. And
there was like 100 people in that stupid thing.
Good Lord.
Cesaro tossed him out, man.
Zack Ryder got his...
And Hideo, what a way to waste a WWE debut on Hideo, man. Like, they could have brought him in so much better. It would have been better to just have him go on Raw the next night. Like, not even have him in the main.
You're right. He's right.
Hideo did have a spotlight for a couple seconds, which is more than what I can say for the rest of the full-time roster.
He's correct.
Yeah, you're right about that, but it stunts him. Like, you know, I mean, Heath Slater can afford to have a 3-second spot, and that's his shine. But if you're trying to build a guy and bring him from NXT, why do you just squash him right off the bat with a guy that's going to win the Andre the Giant trophy? You know what I mean? Like, that's so dumb.
You know what, dude? That showed me that they're not going to do anything with him more than they did with Yoshihiro Tajiri or anybody they'll do more than with him, but they're not going to, you know, they don't understand how to book or promote or push a Japanese wrestler. They haven't done it correctly yet.
Yes, but is that Triple H is doing or Vince is doing?
It's both of their doing.
No, it's Vince, man. It's I mean, Triple H helped make Hideo, you know, put him over in NXT. It's got to be all Vince.
Wow.
I'll see it when I believe it. He had Sin Cara, his little Sin Cara Botchamania expedition or whatever that was.
Let's not be too upset about a call up from a guy that a week ago we didn't even know was, you know, for sure getting called up when the first NXT success story was just ground tonight. I mean, dude, that's, you know,
good point.
The first
finally proven. Yeah, you're right. They've proven with NXT that they have a shitload of talent, and now it's starting to come up. People keep going, oh, you use Ring of Honor guys, use these guys, use Brody Lee and all this. Well, here we go. Now we're getting started with the NXT guys, and you're going to see them constantly go over because NXT is a success. Yep, and absolutely. That will be the legacy currently of Triple H, I think.
Well, and here you go. Two words for you, Samoa Joe. So, anyway.
Yeah, done for that.
Couple other things real quick. Tyson Kidd, Cesaro retaining the tag team titles.
Whoopee-doo.
Good for them. I love cats. And do divas actually get a chance? Did they come through for you tonight, Steven?
No, that sucked.
You weren't down with that?
No, it was a fine match, but why you put them after the cost of run-ins and all this shit? And they got to come out there after like a rap concert, and you give them 6 minutes. How do they think they're gonna get over?
Sloppy though, man. That Black Widow, or is that what it's called, Black Widow? Yeah.
No, the finish was killer. Absolutely.
Yeah. You thought it was killer? He didn't have it all the way locked in. I thought.
Nah, I thought the finish looked good, but I thought that spinning like DDT thing she tried looked awful. Oh. It was a big botch spot with Nikki. Wow. That was terrible.
They had a better match. Last month at whatever you call it, Fastlane. Paige had a better match there.
Yeah.
I feel like the match was decent. I feel like it would have been better if it was just placed differently. If that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I feel like,
no, but that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I wanted Sting and Triple H to be a little bit later. I felt like the U.S. title match should have been before Sting and Triple H. And then I felt like the women's title should have been a better bumper. Like, I felt like it was just really misplaced. Therefore, it made it seem like a much worse match than it was.
Right, because they set it up like a bumper match. Like, okay, woo, those first three. And but by the way, those first three matches were killer. Different way. That was your break. And now here's three more. That was
a great way to open up.
I did feel like the ladder match felt really rushed to me, though. I liked the spots, but I felt like you could kind of feel this like tension of like, okay, we got to get all our stuff in this amount of time. You know what I mean? Yeah,
of course, especially the first couple minutes of the match.
Hey, the headbutt ending was awesome. I know
that was cool. The finish was great.
That was very Japanese. Very awesome, and it was like, hey, can you out headbutt me? And the answer is no.
It was definitely an interesting show for sure. Definitely a must watch again.
Killer.
So final thoughts on WrestleMania 31. We'll put this baby to bed, Benji.
I was overly surprised. I expected a C to a C minus show and got what I feel like is a B plus. I mean, I think that it's going to be even better on second viewing. I think there's going to be a lot of greater storytelling with facial expressions and the moves and a greater appreciation for the whole show by watching it a second time. And I feel they executed it really well. Now I just really hope that the Monday Night Raw tomorrow, as it has been the last couple of years, really sets up for what's going to happen and leads in the SummerSlam and Survivor Series. Because if they fuck it up after such a good WrestleMania, I don't know what they're going to do. Because right now they've got us. Like, I feel like everything I've seen on Twitter and everything that I've seen on Facebook, like it's such a big, huge, excited situation for everybody. I haven't seen anything really bad. And if they fuck it up tomorrow, then they're going to be losing a lot because they earned us all back tonight, I felt. So yep. I'm proud to be a fan. And I haven't said that in a while. So it's
that's great. Yeah. That's good stuff. Daniel.
Yeah, man. I was honestly like a couple days ago, or maybe even a week ago or so, our little talk group, I said that like if I'm not at least a C satisfied with this show, I'm just gonna start watching NXT and Ring of Honor and New Japan, and that's it. Like I was ready to give up on the main roster, and man, they like this show is in my opinion top 10 best manias I've seen. Maybe not top 5, but definitely top 10. I would give it either a B+ or like an A-, even like. Some of it was good. Honestly, it was all good. I just felt like a lot of it was rushed in spots. And the Triple H Sting match, I felt like it started off as a good old school pro wrestling match. And I was kind of pissed that the finish became so dusty so quick. I thought it could have happened a little bit faster and much more towards the end after a little bit more of actually a good pro wrestling psychology match. But that's okay. It still, you know, ended up great. Rollins Orton delivered. Rollins is my guy. To me, he's the new HBK. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I love him. He reminds me of 97 pissed off HBK, and I think it's great. He's whiny. Everything about him is awesome. I don't know. I'm over the moon right now. I'm excited about where it's going to go. I haven't said this in a long time, and I'm super stoked to be a WWE fan and not just a wrestling fan today.
No, that's really cool. And by the way, I believe that the run-ins from NWO and DX were there just in case shit hit the fan, because if for some reason stuff got botched, they were there to help rescue it. So they.
Yeah.
But of course, what would have made it a lot quicker and speedier is if they went ahead and put the NWO on you know, what was those things? Hover rounds?
Oh,
yeah, it was
Jazzy.
Three times faster than hover rounds, or
something.
Or at least segues, for Christ's sake.
Those guys have worked hard for a long time.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you can't really call it a run-in if it's a walk-in.
It was a walk-in.
They walked in.
Slowly helped.
You know, I mean, Ric Flair could have helped them down faster in the ring.
Sure.
At any rate, Nixon, how about you, my friend? How do you rate this pay-per-view?
Man, you know, to be that guy that's totally caught up in the moment, and to, you know, I have to say, man, I missed, you know, I've been on tour for like the last 6-7 weeks, so I've missed almost every Raw and build up other than, you know, if we were in a hotel on a random Monday night. So I just saw, you know, I'd read the dirt sheets I would see on Twitter and stuff from, you know, you guys I'm friends with that, and just keep up and hear about how terrible the Raws have been. And then I would go and watch just little recaps of it. And I wasn't stoked. I mean, I was stoked because it was a Mania Sunday, but other than that, I was like, I know what I'm getting with this company. And it was the first time that I haven't let the choice of who wins and who loses these matches really ruin the card for me. I think at the end of the day, you know, Rollins as a champ is one of the best things that WWE could do right now. And I think that Brock Lesnar still looks like, you know, the only Brock Lesnar that the WWE has ever had or anything close to that. I think Bray Wyatt looks strong as hell coming out of that pay-per-view. And I think Rusev, despite the loss, still came across like a boss in this pay-per-view. You know, so totally being the heel guy here, you know, it's all in how they follow this up. You know, Smart Mania is tomorrow night. That's the night that we always look forward to most. I'm worried about where they go with Bray from here is the only thing that worries me, is because the guy that he just made a feud with for the past 6 weeks on his own came one night, beat him, and then is gone. Where are you taking Bray now? So that's the only thing that has me worried. As far as Mania, A+.
I agree, totally. What a great show from top to bottom. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Something for every wrestling fan, whether you're an old school WCW, NWA.
Yeah, you know what?
WWE.
You know what, man? That was one of the best WrestleManias I've seen. I'm just going to say that because they had 6 matches that really delivered in different ways. You had the Smart Mark ladder match. You had the main event that was totally stiff and brutal that people wanted to see almost as a shoot, that people were treating like a shoot with the contractual talks and the way they hated Reigns and the way they gave Lesnar a good out. The Undertaker match actually was the most disappointed in, just to be honest, which is odd because I'm a big Undertaker mark and I have been forever. As far as why, like you were saying, I think they'll turn him babyface. I really think that's what they're going to do. But I'm really anxious to see Mark. Huh? Hey,
he looks so good. That dude has trimmed up. One of you guys pointed that out this morning, but like I've never thought it looked more noticeable than it did tonight. Like, dude trimmed up a lot.
He did, and he looks a lot different from when he was Husky Harris, too. He had really good ring attire on. By the way, we didn't say this. The set stuff they did tonight was killer. They had a big, giant stage, you know, not just the Russian tanks. The thing in front of Sting coming out with, I guess, sort of a Japanese percussion section. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, taiko drums.
That was killer, too. Everything like that they did was great tonight. And I might be jumping the gun because I'm such a mark. I always get so excited and say it's the best one I ever saw. But I just think the main event was so well booked and so well performed. The opening match was – remember, the opening match was an opening match. For an opening match, all of that stuff to happen is fantastic. You had an Undertaker match. You had a celebrity – you had the Rousey thing. You had a Cena match with him going over an evil Russian. You have the Triple H spree with all of his friends hanging out. You had, and then you had this really killer little Rollins Orton match too, and then you have Rollins go over at the very end. I mean, it kind of had everything, and every booking mistake they made, they seemed to correct like that tonight. They just corrected all of their errors in one night. In a way, they put over Bryan. They gave Wyatt his big match, even though he didn't win. And Rollins has a trajectory now. Reigns has a trajectory because he got screwed out of the title. He can be the up-and-coming babyface who's had a great match that went toe-to-toe with Lesnar. Let's face it, he was acing him with shots. He was punching him. It looked great. He had three hardway cuts, one here, and then the head one he did himself.
Yeah. Think about how crazy it is that we have Bryan and Cena, and we don't have Lesnar as our champ, but they still went ahead and elevated the U.S. and the IC title. Because let's make no mistake about it, that segment backstage with all the legends was not to put over Bryan. That was to put over the IC title. Remind people that are younger than us that title used to mean something. Mm-hmm. And that's badass that's your three champs right now with the young blood being the top dog in the company right now. I mean, dude, we've been talking shit about Vince for a couple years now. That didn't seem like the same Vince from the past couple years, that entire show.
I mean,
I agree.
I feel like that whole segment completely set up the opportunity for more NXT guys to come up to the WWE quicker. That's all that did. I mean, that's giving everybody from Sami Zayn to Hideo Itami to everybody else to be able to come up and be able to make a name for themselves because they're making those IC titles and that US title meaningful. So, I mean, all it's going to do is progress these younger stars quicker, get these people like Kane and the Big Show that don't need to be on every single pay-per-view anymore, and then be able to phase in a whole new generation and make us all happy. So, I mean, I feel like as cheesy as the interview may have been, I felt like it really delivered the overall, you know, the delivery was there, you know, like the message was given to us. And hopefully the younger fans will be able to pick up on that and realize, you know, the lineage that title has.
Totally agree. That was pretty much our final thoughts on this really short aftermath show, WrestleMania 31 in the can. We look forward to Monday Night Raw tomorrow night as a whole new chapter begins for 2015 in the WWE Universe. A couple really quick celebrity tweets. Vince Russo at the Vince Russo
tweet. Oh, yeah. Let's hear what Russo has to say. That's great.
Congratulations, WWE. Sold. Well, I think he meant solid. Entertaining show.
It's hard to spell that.
Yeah, he's got fat thumbs. A couple things I would have done different. I think Vince probably would have had
put the title on
a poll.
You could put the title on Arnold. Put it on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You put it on Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
could have done that. Well, yeah. Couldn't do that. Our friend at KFabe News says, quote, "Worst WrestleMania ever," declares Curtis Axel.
That's funny. Okay, that's funny.
Yeah, that's definitely funny.
WrestleMania didn't do well.
A lot of good stuff there. Let me look at a couple more favorites that I had here. Everybody talked about Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey.
I would have changed a few things in the booking, but it was pretty much a good WrestleMania.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Our friend from Marvel Comics, Ryan Panagos, at Agent M, says, I'm going to pretend that this Skylar Gray gal thinks she's Jean Grey's musical cousin. During the halftime performance at Lance Storm says, I've never heard of either of these two. I may not be very hip. Hashtag WrestleMania.
Hey, look, let me say something, because I'm a musician too, like you guys are. That is one audience I would never ever want to play in front of, because they are there to see Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. They don't want to see you rap.
No, they definitely don't. Well, we have a lot of news to talk about. Chris Jericho maybe doing the podcast for WWE Network, usurping some type of heat maybe between Stone Cold and Triple H. I just heard it.
Who told you that?
I just heard it, dirt cheap.
Stop saying pro wrestling, so they don't want him on anymore.
Yeah, no, that's right. Pro wrestling me is still real.
You watch China's pornos.
Exactly. So we're going to go ahead and sign off for tonight. And like I said, a whole new chapter tomorrow for Ron. We'll be back once again for the weekly webcast/podcast, Pro Wrestling Cast. You can follow us at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter. You can also download the show on iTunes and view us on YouTube. Spread the word about the show. And don't forget to support the show via our Amazon links as well. Once again, everybody, we're going to have all of their social media right there on the show page, and let me go ahead and promote this too, because Nixon, you're taking a break from the road, or you're getting ready to go back on the road, right?
We're at home, I think, for another few weeks, and then we're gonna go out and start doing some dates. Man, we were out for 6 weeks. That's the longest I've been out since I've had two babies. So
yeah,
I'm an old man now. I got to take my time at home in between tours.
Right on. So your tour with Flyleaf just ended, right?
Yes.
Okay. Don't forget to pick up Framing Henley's new disc. I say disc. Boy, do I sound old. Download the new record.
I'm going down to the record store.
Go down to a record store and pick up Collide for a mere $1.29. You can get the rest of the album for free.
I bought the disc. I have the disc.
I'm going to download that shit. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to download Collide right now, and you can check out Frank Ham and Nixon.
I own your disc
on Facebook. Daniel, once again, your band. Where are you playing anywhere soon?
Actually, we're just recording right now. We're working with a producer. I can't really talk about a lot of things that are going on right now yet, but we got some things working. We're just trying to write as many songs as we can to get ready to go into the studio. We've kind of been in the studio independently for a while, but because of what's happening, we're probably going to have to go back in and do a completely different thing. But I'm excited about it. It's all good things. We're going to do some tour dates in June, and we're kind of doing this thing where we're taking it by poll. So we're just kind of asking people where they want us to go, and then we're going to try to route a tour in June around it. We've got a few dates kind of solidified. I know we're playing in Chicago with Hidden Hospitals on June 20th, I believe. Love that band. Those dudes are awesome. And we're doing some stuff in Memphis with a couple of our buddies there. So I'm stoked about it, man.
Check out. We're at the finale on Facebook, and make sure you catch them live on the road this summer. And Benji, we wish you luck too, as well, with all your reality show projects and acting projects and such. And Benji, people can get you all kinds of really fun and interesting selfies on Instagram too. Do you want to put yourself over real quick?
It's just Instagram.com/BenjiNashville. So. Yeah, I post daily, and for some reason people like that shit, so I just keep doing it, and yeah.
Awesome. We're going to have everybody's social media on our show link, so be sure to check that out. Well, anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Al John, there's Steven. We're going to put everybody else over, and we're going to put this show to bed.
The Night of the Marks.
The Night of the Marks continues. Don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.